Well, we've heard again this evening the Christmas story as we've remembered the night on which the Lord Jesus was born. In many ways, the story is comfortingly familiar, isn't it? The story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem because the census had been called, the way in which there was no room in the inn, and so Mary gives birth to the baby Jesus and he's laid in a manger. We have the angels appearing dramatically to the shepherds, bringing good news of great joy for all people and sending them off to Bethlehem. It's a glorious story that we remember this evening. Maybe it's a story familiar to us from our childhood, from those nativity scenes, perhaps donning either tea towels or tinsel, depending on whether we were shepherds or angels. I have memories myself of being an innkeeper. I don't know what you want to make of that, but I seem to remember having played the role of an innkeeper in a nativity scene in my childhood. In many ways, it's very comforting. It's very familiar as we hear the stories, as we sing the carols. And perhaps it's particularly special to do it on this Christmas night. And yet, the Christmas story is intended to be more than simply comforting. You're often actually a story that's quite familiar, that we know well. We can actually forget in some ways the force of it. Listen again to what the angels said to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's to say, the Christmas story, the story of Mary and Joseph, and Mary giving birth to the baby Jesus, it's intended to be more than just comforting. It is fantastic. It is wonderful. It is life-changing. It is good news of great joy. It is the best news in the world. And the testimony of those of us who are Christians is that what has happened at Christmas has indeed changed our lives for the better. That actually we do have great joy because of Christmas. Because actually the birth of the Lord Jesus and what he went on to achieve has changed our lives and even changed our deaths. It's good news of great joy. But just what the question I want to just think through over the next few minutes is simply this. Why? Why is the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago such great news that it changes lives today? Why does it have that impact? Well, the birth of Jesus changes lives today because of what that birth meant. I want to read to us a verse from the Bible, perhaps one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It comes from John, one of Jesus' disciples. He said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And now we get an idea of what this birth at Christmas meant. Three things that can change our lives forever. Firstly, Christmas is about a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. I don't know whether you're looking forward to opening presents tomorrow. I suspect those of a younger generation might be slightly more excited about opening presents than the rest of us. But I suppose the thing about gifts is that they tell you something. You know, gifts tell you something, don't they? You know, if somebody gives you a book, say, on art history, they're probably saying to you that you're a great intellectual or completely pretentious. One of them, you know, the gift of a book on art history would tell you something. Equally, if somebody gives you shower gel or deodorant as a gift, they're probably trying to tell you something else. You know, gifts, they kind of tell you something. They provide a message both about the one who gives the gift and the one who receives it. Hopefully, at some point in our lives, all of us will have received perhaps a special gift at Christmas. You know, one of those gifts that just make you think, ah, you know, the person who's given me that, they're just so thoughtful. And we feel loved as a result. Gifts provide something of a message as to what the person giving thinks about us. Well, at Christmas, God gave his only Son. That's why you have shepherds praising God. That's why you have wise men worshipping a baby. Think about it, it's quite a strange thing to do. I don't normally, when I see a baby, bow down and worship it. You know, it's quite a strange thing, isn't it? The wise men come and worship a baby. Why? Because the gift given at Christmas is God's Son. At Christmas, God's Son comes to earth. And we know that he's God's Son because of what he does subsequently. The miracles that he performs. The way he turns water into wine. The way he gives sight to the blind. The way he can raise a man from death. All of these things recorded by eyewitnesses. We know that at Christmas, a unique event took place. God's Son came to earth. And he comes as a gift from God. God gives to us the most precious thing that he had. God gives us his Son. And it's a costly gift because that Son will ultimately be given to death on a cross. And so if gifts tell us things, you know, if the gifts that were given tell us something about us, what does this gift tell us? What does it we find out from the fact that God gives us his Son? The Christmas gift tells us that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. I don't know whether we often think about God's attitude towards us, the attitude of the one who made us. I wonder whether you ever thought, what does God think of me? Well, it might come as a surprise to some of us that God thinks about us at all. You know, I guess for some of us there might be the sense, well, God made me, but then he sort of disappeared far, far away. And he's basically indifferent to me. He doesn't really think about me much at all. And yet the good news of Christmas is this. The God who made us loves us. The God who made us loves us. For God so loved the world. Maybe we're here this evening, we're often in church, and there's that question going on in our minds, you know, I've never really paid much attention to God, but you're telling me that he loves me? Actually, that's precisely what I'm saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God loves us, and the evidence for that, the way we know that God loves us, is the fact that he gave the Lord Jesus at Christmas. Or we might be Christians, but Christians who, you know, deep down we know how often we fail. Perhaps we can look back on 2007 and we can just think of all the ways we've messed up as Christians. And actually in the end we're discouraged and we just think, oh, God must just be so fed up with me. Again, the message of Christmas is this. God loves you. God loves you. And the evidence is the sheer extravagance of the gift he is willing to give. For God so loved us that he gave his only Son. The Christmas gift tells us about the love of God. There's a bit of a problem, though, isn't there, if you think about it. You know, imagine a father comes up to you and says, I love you. And to show how much I love you, I'm going to give you my Son. Well, you'd be a bit mystified, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, that's very nice. I'm not sure that I need your Son particularly. It's very nice for you to give him to me. But why do I need your Son? The gift is actually only loving if it's useful in some way. So how is it loving for God to give us his Son? Why do we need him? Well, so Christmas is about a gift. Christmas is also about a Saviour. Do you notice what the angel said to the shepherds? This is good news of great joy. There's fantastic news. But what is this news? Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. This gift, this loving gift, is a Saviour. And what is a Saviour? A Saviour is somebody who rescues us from trouble. A Saviour is somebody who pulls us out of danger. Just one group of people who will be glad that 2007 is over is the England football team. It's been quite a depressing year for the England football team. In some ways, probably the lowest point of my own year was watching England-Croatia on the television, staring at the television in disbelief as it got worse and worse and worse. People talked about it as the lowest point in English footballing history. And so in that position, the England football authorities have looked for a saviour, somebody to rescue England from the doldrums that they've fallen into. Now, they've gone for an Italian, one to rescue them from embarrassment and humiliation by the name of Fabio Capello. Well, I guess we'll see in times to come whether he's up to it. Let's hope so. But they looked to him as a saviour, somebody to rescue them from a position of trouble. That's essentially what a saviour is, somebody who rescues from difficulty. But of course, Jesus coming as a saviour tells us something then. It tells us that on our own, we're in trouble. You don't need a saviour if you're not in danger. The fact that he's come as a saviour means we're in difficulty, we're in peril, we're in danger. In some ways, that's the shock of Christmas. That Christmas tells us that God loves us, but Christmas also tells us that we've got a problem, that we're in danger, that we're in difficulty. And the verse we read gives us an idea of what we're being rescued from. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. You see, on our own, we're in danger because we are perishing. We're perishing physically, but we're also perishing spiritually. Spiritually, we're dying because, indeed spiritually, we're dead because we're cut off from God, our Maker. But I might think, well, you know, that might be news to me. I've tried to live a good life. My life's okay, I've never killed anybody, I've never hurt anybody. Why do I need somebody to rescue me from danger, from perishing? It is because each one of us has got a problem with God. You see, we have to face up to the question, how have we treated the God who made us? Actually, by and large, most of us go through our life, in a sense, ignoring God, pushing him out of our lives. And that leaves us on the path to spiritual death. And so we're in danger. We're perishing physically and spiritually. But God loves us. God doesn't want us to die. And so God sends his Son as that special Christmas gift to die in our place so that we might have life. You see, the Christmas gift is God rescuing us from death and for life. And that's what we can have. We can have eternal life, life as it is meant to be, going on forever, all because Jesus came at Christmas. Jesus comes to rescue us from death and to give us life. And so we face a question as we remember Christmas this evening. As we think about our existence, are we basically on our way to death, or are we currently enjoying eternal life? If you think about it, it is one of those two. In some ways, life is a bit like a conveyor belt, isn't it? You can't stop it. You know, life's a conveyor belt. It keeps going and going and going, and you can't press the button stop. And the question we face is this. Are we basically on the conveyor belt to death and judgment, or are we on the conveyor belt to life, eternal life, where life is going to get better and better and better? We're on one of those two conveyor belts, either towards death or towards eternal life. That's the reality. I wonder which we're on. Well, actually, the great news of Christmas is that Jesus has come to rescue us from that conveyor belt that leads to death and take us on the conveyor belt that leads to life. That's why Christmas is such good news. And so if we're Christians tonight, this story isn't just familiar, it's fantastic. We're saved from death for life. And we have life, eternal life, forever and ever and ever. That's the great promise for Christians tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that believing in him, we will not perish, but we have eternal life. That's wonderful news. It's a good reason to celebrate this evening. Praise God for his Son, our Saviour. Christmas is about a Saviour, is about one who rescues us. But what if we wouldn't call ourselves Christians? Or actually, we're not sure that we're on this road to life. Well, just finally, Christmas is about an invitation. It's about a gift, about a saviour. Christmas is about an invitation. I don't know what the greatest invitation you've ever received is. For some, it will be an invitation along the lines of, will you marry me? For some, it might be an invitation, you know, will you do this job? I guess we're at the time of the year when things like MBEs and OBEs will be handed out and there'll be an invitation to the palace. Don't think that's going to come to any of us unless I'm mistaken. But, you know, there's great invitations that we get at various points in our life, don't we, to start something or to do something. Well, Christmas represents the best invitation ever because it's an invitation to leave death behind and to have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There is an invitation to whoever to believe in him, to put our trust in Jesus Christ, so that we move from death to life, from heading towards death and judgment to having life in all its fullness, and that life going on forever and ever. Tonight is an invitation to life, an invitation to eternal life. All we have to do is to believe in Jesus, to put our trust in him and to follow him. I wonder what each of us will do with that invitation this Christmas. To reject that invitation is to choose death. To accept the invitation is to choose life. Death or life all revolves around whether we put our trust in Jesus. It might be that we're saying, well, yeah, okay, but this isn't for me. Maybe it's for people who are more religious than I am. Maybe it's for people who are better than I am. But actually, the invitation in the verse is for whoever. It's for anybody. Actually, the message of the shepherds was of good news, of great joy, for all the people. This is great news for anybody, no matter how religious they are, no matter how often they've been to church in the past. This is good news for anybody. To believe in Jesus and to have life. And so the invitation comes to us tonight. Maybe if we want to ask more questions. There's a notice that went up on the screen earlier. We were in a group called Christianity Explored. It's a chance to ask any questions you've got about the Christian faith. But the invitation is serious. It's a matter of life or death. Believe in Jesus and have life. And for those of us who are Christians, this is great news, isn't it? It's great news to be glad about. We have life, and that forever. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Christmas. Praise God for what we celebrate tonight. Praise God for that gift which shows us the sheer extent of his love for us. We're tonight those who are loved by God and given the best Christmas gift we could ever want. Let's pray together. Thank you so much, Lord God, that you loved us enough to send your Son. Thank you that the Lord Jesus, your Son, came into history, lived and died for us. And so, Father, we thank you that because of him, we can have life forever. Father, for those of us who know you, keep us believing and trusting in Jesus, we pray. Lord, for any of us who don't know you, help us to put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we would ask, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's sing.